Y'all pray for my wife. Y'all pray for me and Brother Robert. We're supposed to sing at that funeral Friday. I got this sinus stuff going on, and God knows what we need to, right? Revelation chapter 4, I'm going to read. Let's just go back to verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings, voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal, in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. I think me and Brother Barry was talking about that one day. I wonder why it's always in 3, holy, holy, holy. That's because there's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. They're worshiping all 3 at one time. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. God, help us right now, Lord, as we look to your word, God. God, I pray, God, you would just move in a special way tonight, God. I pray, God, you would help me, the Lord. Help me to preach what I cannot do on my own. I know I need you, God, and I know I cannot do this without you. Have your way right now, Lord. Enlighten us, God, through your word, and we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we got into chapter 4, verse 1. I believe, like we said last week, that was the rapture taking place. And I'm like Brother Robert, I believe that is soon to happen. When he said, I saw that door open, that was, most scholars believe that's when the door opened in heaven. The church was raptured out. And now we're at the throne room of God. We are at, this is the throne chapter. We have come into the presence of an almighty God. We have come in, now we know from just reading this, we have come into the presence of all 3 beings. We know that the indwelling part of the Holy Spirit has been called out when the rapture takes place, and there will be people saved during the rapture, but I believe that is going to be the Israelite people. But the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit has left the earth. I believe at this point, all three parts of God, all 3 persons of God are united back together. That's why they're saying, holy, holy, holy. Hey, if the Holy Ghost was still down on the earth, they would say, holy, holy. If Jesus wasn't there, they would say, holy, holy. But praise God, they're saying, holy, holy, holy. I believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are there. And we know who's sitting on the throne. It's Jesus Christ, because they said right here, the one that created everything, that's Jesus Christ. We're getting ready to go into the presence of the throne room of God. Understand something, folks. You have access already to the throne room of God. The Bible says we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. That means if you're covered by the blood, you've got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to back up to the throne. You ain't got to back up to this altar. You can get on this altar. You got just as much access to the throne as I do. You got more access to the throne right here in this church. church than any pope ever has. You got more access to the throne than any father ever has or any nun ever has. I'm just telling you, folks, we have access to God the Father tonight. It's already here. Whatever your need is tonight, I'm telling you, it's here. That ain't in the notes, praise God. Things always look different when you're looking at it from heaven's point of view. Amen? See, all we see on this side, Chuck, is what we see. All we see is our realm, and what we see is our troubles and our trials. But God already knows the future. God is seeing way past what you and I can see. And now we're getting ready to look at this through heaven's point of view. We see this scene is taking place in heaven. He said, by the Spirit, he was caught up. He is caught up. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was that it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, I was in the Spirit. Well, I told you last week, at this point, John is typical of the church. God snatches him out from where he's at, Wes, and brings him into the throne room of God. Now, let's look at the throne room of God. The sovereign that's on the throne. That's glory. That's God. I like what I believe it was Preacher Pat Minahan once said. I tell you about the sovereignty of God. He's God, and he ain't gonna ask your opinion on anything, and he don't need your opinion on anything, because he's God, and that's all we need to know. Amen. But we're going into the glory of God. That's number one. I want you to think about a few facts here. The stability of God, his government, his illustration by the throne set. Nothing can overturn or nothing can overrule God. I'm telling you right now, my God, I feel like preaching. They ain't going to have no elections in heaven. They ain't no primaries in heaven. They ain't nobody can run against him in heaven. I'm telling you right now, there ain't nobody can run against him nowhere. If we're not careful, we have it in our mind that Satan is equal to God. Satan is nowhere even close to being equal to God. There ain't nobody, nothing, no entity, nowhere, no how, no way can ever overturn God. He's God. Psalms 47, verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Psalms 45, verse 6, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Hey, you know what Isaiah said? Isaiah said when he came into the presence of God and he saw him and his train filled the temple. Understand something. And I told you this before. When all these old kings and all these old rulers, when they would go in and conquer another country, they would take that king's train and hook it to their train. Glory to God. He ain't never been conquered. Hey, everybody he's ever come against, their train is hooked to him. Amen. He's God. The stability of God, the symbolism of God, his glory. John tries to do the impossible, to tell us what he looks like. Think about that for a minute. John said he looked like a jasper stone that's hard and inflexible. It's clear. It's unchangeable. It's firm. It describes the Lord's government. God's laws are fixed laws. I said this past Sunday. I believe God's law of tithing is a fixed law. Understand something. I just like gravity. That's a fixed law. God's law is immutable. This right here will not change. Let me tell you something. People change. Everything changes. And everybody's trying to do it their own way. Let me tell you something. You either do it this way or you go to hell. There ain't no other way. It's God's law. God's going to rule with a rod of iron. Psalms 2 verse 9 tells us that. Then he says he's like a sardine stone. That's blood red. It's fiery. It speaks of the holiness of God. Amen. The fires of the altars on Israel were never to go out. God's holiness will never go out. God's holiness has not dimmed, not one bit. And if anything, it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen. He's holy, folks. We got to understand that. He is holy. Then he's trying to explain the human side is kind of tough when he's trying to do this. The human side. But it's a picture of somebody that's going to judge the world. Got to think about the Israelites, the priest. If you go back and study the breastplate that they had in Exodus 28, all those, the jasper and sardine stone was on it. And the priest wore it over their heart, Richard, because it was for compassion. And you understand something. We serve I'm going to say this. We serve a hard God. He's inflexible. Benji, he ain't going to change. He ain't changing. He ain't changing for me. He ain't changing for you. He ain't changing for America. He ain't changing for Israel. But he's always got compassion. He is a compassionate God. I told somebody this week, I said, only thing we can say is when a person dies, they are in the hands of a compassionate and just God. He'll do what's right. Now you think about that. You line up with his law, he'll do what's right. Amen. But that's the sovereign. Look at the serenity of God, his grace. There's the rainbow there. Right now on earth, you know, I've never seen a complete rainbow. Very few people have. But in heaven, it says it's a rainbow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see how all this is lining up. Right now we saw we had this rainbow. And think about this, folks. The serenity of God. You and I, right now, all we can see is, like I said a while ago, what we see. Every one of us in here is facing something. Everybody in here has got troubles and trials. Everybody in here, but all we can see is half of it from our perspective. But I'm telling you right now, God knows everything. He's already got it all figured out. Ain't nothing ever snuck up on him, amen. And I'm telling you right now, he is sitting high and holy, and he knows what's going on, and he's ruling and reigning like he always has. And everything's going to work out. Like Brother Robert said, I believe when we look around and we say, see how all this here mess is going down all over the world, all this here troubles and trials we're facing in America, hey, it ain't took God by surprise. He's still sitting up there high and holy. Hey, he's not, like I said a couple years ago when this COVID come out, God is not sitting on the throne with a mask on, with alcohol on one side and alcohol on the other side. And God ain't worried about all that, folks. I'm just telling you, he's got it all under control. All this is going on in Israel, God's got it under control. Now let's look at the saints around the throne. The Bible talks about 24 elders. They're symbolic of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. I believe I can say this with authority. I believe it's talking about the 12 tribes of the Old Testament, those leaders of those 12 tribes. And when we get to the New Testament, we have 12 apostles. Now, let me just interject something right there. You can preach this. I didn't think about this, Stephen, until after I had kind of studied and had all my notes. There are going to be 24 seats, Jackie. And just kind of imagine in your mind, you know, you got all the 12 of the Old Testament, and then on this side you got Matthew and Peter and John, and the Apostle Paul's going to be there. You know why the Apostle Paul's going to be there? Because one of them messed up. Judas. Do you realize where he could have been? And where he's at right now because of decisions he made. Wow. I mean, Chucky, Judas could have been sitting around the throne room. I'm talking about around the throne of God. You understand something? This is a special place. John is here, but John is like, we're not going to sit in those seats, amen. Those seats are not for us. Thank God I'm going to be there. I ain't going to want to sit down no how. I hope I'm running up and down the streets of gold having a fit. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, but those seats ain't for us. Those seats are special seats for somebody else. But Judas had a seat there and gave it up. It speaks of a promise fulfilled. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 said this, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. I'm telling you right now, folks, one of these days, you and I, we are going to this place I am preaching about right now. I remember several years ago, the first time I preached, it was up in the old church up there, and I preached it again just a few years ago about trying to describe heaven, about how thick the walls was and how high the walls was and the color of all. Let me tell you something, you can't describe heaven, but I'm telling you right now, we're going to be there. As sure as we're sitting in this church tonight, we're going to be there. The promise fulfilled, the position finalized. Don't you look at this. Spiritually seated. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath both ordained that we should walk therein. They're wearing white raiment. You know what that tells me? I understand. I understand about those in the New Testament. I understand Peter wearing white raiment. Amen. I understand Paul. I understand all those disciples wearing white raiment. But what about those other ones from the Old Testament? Y'all remember when Jesus died on the cross? The Bible says he went down and preached to those that was held captive. They had to accept him just like you and I had to accept him. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you right now, Abraham had to bow on his knees and accept the darling Son of God as his Savior, just like I did. And that's why those Old Testament saints can be wearing white robes just like everybody else. Thank God, I'm telling you, folks, they got crowns on their heads. That means the judgment has already passed. They got the crowns on. They've already went through the judgment seat of Christ. He's already handed out their rewards. And you and I are going to be there one day. You and I are going to get those rewards. You and I, one of these days, he's going to look down at Preacher Trevor. He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. He's going to hand out every time you witness, every time you tell somebody about Jesus, every time you do something good. I believe that's going to be crowns and stars that you and I have on our head. But understand that every time you read this, and you read this several times, Brother Ralph, throughout Revelation, about how every time they come in, every time they come together, they're putting those crowns down. The only thing I can figure is every time I lay it down at his feet, he's going to pick it back up and put it back on my head. Just so I can do it again. I'm going to preach on shouting now. Every once in a while, we ought to just come to church and have ourselves a fit, because you can come back to next service and do it again, amen. Hey, you ought to be planning ahead. And when I get to church Sunday, I'm going to have myself a fit. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to raise my hand. I don't care if they're singing some of them slow, dragged out songs the choir wants to sing. I'm going to go ahead and shout anyhow. I don't care if they break loose with a fast song. I'm going to shout anyhow, because I can come back tonight and do it again. That brings me into my next few verses. Verse 5 through verse 11 talks about the throne of God, the worship around the throne. There are seven lamps. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit and all the completeness. Understand something. The word number 7 is used, I think. Hold on a minute. Let me read you something. The number 7, occurring 54 times in the book of Revelation, appears more frequent than any other number. In the Bible, it is associated with completion, fulfillment, and perfection. That's what that throne is. Amen? Yeah. Folks, I'm just telling you, when we get there, the seven lamps is going to be burning. Understand? I'm not exactly sure about all that, but I know there's going to be seven spirits of God. That's complete knowledge, complete foreknowledge of God. Everything's going to be perfect there. The Bible talks about in verse 6, a sea of glass. In other words, God's judgment is done for those that's there. When we get to this point, Richard, we've already passed the judgment seat of Christ, Wes. It's on then. You ain't got to worry about being judged. You ain't got to worry about, well, did you do it right? You ain't got to worry about what's going to happen. You ain't got to worry about none of that no more. See, a lot of times we come down to this altar. We ask God to forgive us. And a lot of times we know he does. And we go back out and we do something again and we mess up again. And we have to come back and ask him again. But not after this point in this book of Revelation. Not after this verse in verse 6. No more. The judgment is already done. Hey, glory to God. There won't be no more sin. There won't be no more sorrow. There won't be no more temptation. There won't be no more Satan. There won't be no more evil. Thank God. We'll just be able to shout it out. The four beasts. The four beasts is symbolic of the world. The seasons are a compass. These beasts represent all created life. The lion represents the wildness. The calf represents domesticated. Man represents intelligence. The eagle represents the birds. Each one of these is represented on the side of the Lord. Now, if you go back and look at the four Gospels, and I know I'm throwing this at you pretty quick. The four Gospels. Matthew is represented by a lion. Mark is represented by a calf. Luke is represented by man. And John is represented by an eagle. I'm telling you right now, folks, understand something. We're going to have a time when we get there. Verse 9 through verse 11 talks about the celebration that's going to be going on. Can you imagine? Just imagine with me now. You're around the throne. Now see, I ain't picking on Jamie tonight. I picked on her enough Sunday. I'm picking on Jackie. Jackie cries. I don't care what's going on. Spirit gets moving, Jackie gonna cry. We used to kind of, me and Scooby kind of pick on Jackie. Scooby hooch me like that on the front and say, look at Jackie. He'd be just crying, just a singing. I don't have to ask Jackie to do that. I'll never forget. We was in this church. Preacher Billy Fields was preaching. Brother Gene Rabin was sitting right there. Preacher Billy preaching in a big way. Preacher Billy said, my knees is hurting. I can't run. I need somebody to run for me. Brother Gene took off down that aisle, out them doors, and back down that aisle and come right back down and said, I'm talking about he took off. He didn't have to beg him. He didn't have to come to him and say, will you run for me? Some of y'all going to catch this in a minute. They're around the throne. The four beasts are these angelic beings. Now, when we read this, you got to understand, John ain't got a clue what he's seeing. John is trying to describe, but I'm telling you right now, don't look at this as some kind of ugly being, because that's not what it is. This is a beautiful angel that all his whole job. The Bible says we got guardian angels that watch over. I got an angel, and I wear him out just trying to keep up with me. Amen? You got a guardian angel. You got guardian angels that watch over you. But these beasts, these four beasts, all their whole job, they were created for one thing, Benji, and one thing only. That's worship and praise and to fly around that throne saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's their whole job. Now notice what happens when they start saying that. The 420 elders, they just fall into worshiping. You never read it in there where somebody told them to worship. You never read it in there where somebody said, hey, let's lay our crown down at his feet. You never read it in there where somebody had to tell them to get happy. What kind of service could we have Sunday morning? If we come in this church and everybody was ready to worship. I'm talking about you. All somebody got to do is say, Jesus, and somebody shout. All somebody got to do is say, I just want to thank the Lord, and somebody shout. Has he been that good to us? My wife told me Sunday morning, she said, you better be glad you didn't get too close to Wes. I said, why? She said, Wes was going to get you. And I'm going to pick on Wes a minute. I called him out, and I called out several others. But Mickey, what happens when the power of God gets to moving and you ain't got to be called out? That's what I'm talking about. When we get there, holy, I believe before they got the third holy, the crowns was coming off. Folks, we're talking about being in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're talking about being in the presence of the one that died for you. They are seeing him, and we'll get into that in the next chapter. They are seeing him like he is. They are seeing him for what he really is. Every time the 24 elders appear in the book of Revelation, they are falling down, and they are praising, and they are worshiping God. It ought to be that way every time we come into God's house. You ought to start psyching yourself up on Saturday night before you get up on Sunday morning. And then on Sunday night, you ought to be ready to worship, amen. You ought to start psyching yourself up when you get out of bed on Wednesday morning. You ought to say, when I get to church tonight, I'm going to have myself a spell. God, you've been so good to me. I'm just going to go ahead and shout. I'm going to shout a little while in the living room right here and just bring it on over to God's house. We need to do two things. Begin to praise him now so you'll be ready then. Amen. Now see, there ain't going to be no... One old preacher put it this way. This is the quietest world you're going to ever live in. If you go to hell, there's going to be a lot of noise. And if you go to heaven, there's going to be a lot of noise. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, this is the quietest world we're going to ever live in. Number two, begin to worship right now so you'll be ready then. Number two, start collecting crowns so you'll have something to lay down at his feet. Invite somebody to church. You say, preacher, you think we get crowns from inviting people to church? Oh, yeah, because you can't save them. If they come and get saved, that's just a blessing. Do what we're supposed to do. Calvin Miller wrote this. He said, I once led a man to Christ who loved the sunny country of common sense, but he could not put up with the mysteries of godliness. He kept shoving common sense at me while I was trying to show him that the mysteries held the meaning of faith. One day he said, Pastor, you know this new eternal life I have? Well, I've been thinking about it. What are we going to do all day, all day long for eternity? Well, praise the Lord, I said. Forever? For 10 million years, we're going to stand around and praise the Lord. Well, yes, I said. Although heaven was beginning to sound like a cable television for millions and millions of years, he said, couldn't we just stop now and then and mess around a while? I kidded him about his dumb questions. But then he said, I have to admit similar questions of my own times. How meager our understanding of praise and how meager our understanding of heaven. Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it's not even entered into the hearts of man what God has in store. Amen. Folks, I don't know everything about heaven. Ain't no way in the world I could get Preacher Trevor up here and let him preach a sermon, and I could call these guys up to teach and let them teach. We could all teach and preach on heaven for months and months and months and never cover it. But I know one thing. It's going to be good. Amen. It's going to be good. I love you. I don't understand it all, but praise God, I believe it all. Amen. I believe it's going to be jasper walls. I believe it's going to be gates of pearl. I believe the pavement's going to be gold, amen? That's what the Bible says.